Now more of the Mid-Coast Morning Buzz, WCME.
The buzz on a wet Tuesday in the height of vacation season and the season, as we like to say here in Maine. And for a few minutes, and only for a few minutes, we're going to divert our attentions away from all the luxury and relaxation of vacation season and take a look at what lies ahead in just a few short weeks, that being the school season. We're joined, as we are once a month, by Brunswick School Superintendent Phil Potenziano. Phil, I don't know why. I talk to you every month at about the start of the month, but this month it seems like it's been like a year since I've talked to you. And maybe it's just that so much has been going on this summer, but anyway, it's nice to have you back on the buzz this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. It does feel like it's been a while. It's been a busy but also a relaxing summer, so
Yeah. I got to say, Phil, we're making a notable exemption for you and you only. We have an informal rule that we don't say the words back to school very often on this program until about August 15th, because, you know, it just kind of wrecks the summer mood if we do that. But
I like that.
but in your case, we're making a very notable and a valid exception this morning. I want to start just by noting the realities of the start of the year in the school year in Brunswick and how that plays into kind of an ongoing debate we have in this culture that I suppose will never end. You are starting school, it's my understanding, I believe, on the 3rd of September, right? Day after Labor Day.
Yes.
And we're getting an early Labor Day this year on the 2nd day of September. School starts Tuesday the 3rd. And there is this debate about whether schools should start before or after Labor Day, and you seem to be opting for, obviously here, for a post-Labor Day start. Just talk about your view of that based on your years in education.
Well, that's a great question, and it's really about each individual community and what that community's needs are. I worked in a district previously that always made the decision to start school after Labor Day because it was a more of a tourist community. But here in Brunswick, we've fluctuated back and forth. So that's the process is such that we bring a proposed schedule that is aligned with Region 10 sending schools. So that's SAD 75 and then RSU 5, Freeport, Durham, and Pownall. So we work with them, and then we bring a draft to the school board, and then the school board offers their opinion. And Jim, you know this, but maybe listeners don't. We're only allowed to have only so many dissimilar days with Region 10 students. So that does really guide our much of our discussion, but not all of it. I will say, just an aside, I was on with somebody, a colleague from a southern state, and they were starting school yesterday.
Wow.
In South Carolina and Georgia were the two places that I was talking to a couple folks and via email, mind you. And I was like, what? You're starting school? But they were starting school yesterday, August 5th in Atlanta, Georgia, was one person. And then the other one is in South Carolina. They had their first day of school as well. So they start significantly earlier, obviously, for different reasons.
To some extent, I'm showing my age, which is getting to be an elderly one when I talk about these things. When I grew up in the dark ages in the Midwest, we had, for one thing, if anybody talked in my youth about starting school before Labor Day, their life might have been literally in danger. I mean, we weren't a tourist area or anything. It was just kind of a given that summers belong to families for vacations and stuff like that, and you just don't start school before Labor Day. We had a very long summer. We got out of school 1st of June, and we weren't back until September. Of course, we had, in those days, no real spring break. We had, every year, a 4-day spring break that would start on Good Friday and end on Easter Monday. That was spring break.
That was it.
That's unheard of now. Everybody gets you know, right. a longer spring right. vacation, which we want. I'm assuming, Phil, that it's that need for a certain number of school days in the year that drives the in some communities the move to start school before Labor Day.
Yes, I think that's accurate. The state law, we're in the weeds, but it's interesting. 175 required days. Brunswick has 176. Some school districts have even more. And those districts that have, you know, more 180 days or 181 student days, you know, you can't fit them all in with all the additional holidays. I mean, there, as we both know, there's, and everyone knows, there's a lot of Monday holidays, you know, ranging from Patriots
Day. Oh, yeah.
You know, and so forth. So Memorial Day, and anyway. So yeah, that I think that you're right. That drives a lot of the conversation. And then also, really, extended school year services or summer programming services for students also is part of that equation too.
That's sure.
Part of our discussion.
Sure. But. We're going to take a short news break. Come back and talk further. With Brunswick School Superintendent Phil Potenziano about what of substance will be new and different in the school year beginning again the day after Labor Day, much to my joy, on Tuesday, September 3rd. I will say that I'm glad to be working, running a radio station in a community where the school year starts after Labor Day. Thank you very much. And it's 7:50, 10 minutes till 8, back on the Buzz with Brunswick School Superintendent Phil Potenziano. Phil, I ask you, with just under a month, you'll be back in the classroom in just a little bit, under a month on Tuesday, September 3rd. That's probably exactly 4 weeks from today, is it not? I think it might be.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's going to be new? I know you're always doing something new. You're always innovating in usually several respects at one time. What's going to be new this September of note in the system?
Well, I think the first thing we just remind the community that the superintendent's office moved from Federal Street over to Coffin School.
Yeah.
So that happened, you know, during 2 weeks in July, and we're kind of getting, not kind of, but we're settling in there nicely. So that's a big development for the district. We have a lot of construction projects that are, you know, underway, and some are, you know, ahead of schedule, and some are a little bit behind. So we're working on those and doing that. But as a school perspective, we have a lot of a lot of different programming, and not so much different program, but we're looking forward to having our students back, and some of our programming will expand. Our, you know, we're working with the high school with our programming there. Sports starts up the 19th, so we're looking forward to that. But overall, it's been a very busy hiring season. We've had, you know, a couple of administrative hires, and then we've had some staff hires as well. We need a few bus drivers or bus driver subs, Jim. Put a plug in there. So if anyone's interested in, you know, becoming a bus driver, we really could benefit from, you know, that, from an application or two with that. We train folks and are happy to do so, but we really need some bus driving support. That continues to be a challenge in the Mid-Coast region.
Well, since you brought up bus drivers, I will mention, you might want to say a word or two about this. I noticed on your website that you were honoring recently a certain bus driver. Are you not?
Yeah, Kent. Yeah, yes, right. We've had a lot of staff, you know, win awards, but recently we had a bus driver, and I'm going to get Kent. I think it's Kent, if I'm trying to remember now. You got me kind of going from my memory. Yeah, it was Kent. Am I correct? Let me try to remember his name. I'm looking on my website, Jim. And, yeah, Kent Spaulding, right?
Yeah.
And Kent won a bus driver safety statewide skills course and the written course through the Maine Association of Pupil Transportation. And that's really great. I mean, our bus drivers do an incredible job, but Kent in particular came in second place in the state and won an award. So that's very cool. Thank you for calling, you know, showing... highlighting that. We've really been, we have a number of staff that do a great job, but Kent won that award.
Now,
on buses is really, you know, first and foremost of our, you know, what we do.
That's a fine thing. I would think that would give, you know, a lot of reassurance to parents who want to feel that their kids are in good hands with whoever's driving the bus in the morning and the afternoon. Very important function that we sometimes tend to minimize. Speaking of new personnel, you just want to mention, I know there's a lot of excitement about your new assistant principal, I believe, at the high school, right?
Yeah, right. Jacob Goldstone is coming back to us. Jacob was a high school teacher at Brunswick High School for, I'm thinking, 3 or 4 years, and then moved. He was at high school for 5 years, that's right, and then went to Portland Public Schools and worked at King School. And Jacob is coming back to us, and that'll be nice. You know, we loved Tim Gagnon. Tim did a great job, and Tim moved over, as you probably know, to Bath Technical School over there. So he's now principal over there, but Jacob's going to fill his shoes, and we're looking forward to Jacob and Troy and Caitlin working together, and as well as Kaylee Phillips.
Couple more things I have for you before we go this morning. In the aftermath of the much talked about and very newsworthy budget season last spring, in which you introduced one of the most modest school budget increases that I think I've ever seen here, the most modest in 12 years of regular coverage of this system, and a lot of people made a similar notation, and as a result of that, the budget went through pretty easily. But I know from experience that it's one thing to propose a budget, it's another thing to approve a budget, it is still another to actually make it work. So I'm wondering, Phil, given really the relative modesty of your budget plan, are you finding that it is really enough? Are you going to be challenged in any significant way? I'm just wondering if you're running into any, maybe unanticipated surprises in making that budget work.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, two things. One is thank you for acknowledging the tightness or the budget itself. That was a very lean budget that we passed. And I think in reality, Jim, it will be difficult. We're monitoring it closer than we ever have. And what I mean by that is, our expenses. Again, we're 1 month in, a little over 1 month in to our budget. But we're really looking at those figures because we don't have a lot of, quote-unquote, fat. Not that we've ever had fat, but this year in particular, we came in very, very tight, very lean, and are going to have to be doing that. So 1 month in, I'm feeling good about it, but we are on, a huge amount, not a huge amount, but we're looking at the budget carefully more than I think we've ever thought we've had to in the past because we don't have a lot of flexibility to do what we need to do.
The final subject of this morning, we all know, again, from recent news coverage, the school systems in the area are going various ways on the whole question of what to do about cell phones and how much, if at all, to restrict student use of cell phones during school hours. In RSU1, the Bath District, they are going to implement effectively a cell phone ban in September. You and your colleagues in the Freeport-based RSU5 school district have leaned kind of the other way against further restrictions, yet at the same time we've heard that there are some parents in Brunswick who apparently are interested in some restrictions, and I just wonder where you stand on that now. Are you going to be looking at that with the school board in the fall?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to, particularly at the high school level, teachers at the high school have an approach that they've been following, which is, off and away until I say. So teachers do that. So students are allowed to use their cell phone during passing time, lunchtime, flex time, and in the library. But in the classroom, students, are asked to keep their phones away by per teacher. At the junior high, a little different there as well. Students are using it, cell phones and wireless headphones may be used, in the hallways, and otherwise they're turned off or put away in a locker or a backpack. But and then we have a process for if a student is, first offense, second offense, third offense, and so forth. We haven't we've, you know, right now, I met with my administrators in July, feeling as though we're managing it. But we'll continue to monitor that and listen to our administrators and our teachers. And if teachers are feeling like we need to do something different, we'll bring that forward to the board. But overall, I have not had a huge amount of emails or discussions regarding the need to do it. It appears as though, again, very informally, that our staff feel like they're monitoring that and taking care of our students that way.
So it sounds like you would still stand on what you told me, I think it was last month or maybe the month before, that you don't feel there is any cell phone crisis that needs to be addressed in the Brunswick schools.
In the schools itself, we could always have a discussion about the overall use of cell phones and how that has impacted teen mental health. But monitoring our cell phone student cell phone usage in the school is being done by our teachers and administrators. It appears as though that it's going well. I will say, when we were, in Brunswick, we've had a large contingent of parents, and I do mean large, of asking for students to be able to have access for emergency purposes, being able to, in a crisis. Remember, we had the swatting event last year, and parents were concerned that they couldn't get in touch with their students and whatnot. So there's a fine, delicate balance, but I think in the classroom, our teachers are doing a great job monitoring that. Again, I want to say this again, if my administrative team comes to me and says, wow, we need to reevaluate this, we'll be ready, and we'll do so in collaboration with the school board and students and parents.
Okay, Phil, very interesting. I'm personally going to be watching to see, and I know a lot of people are, how this works out in RSU1. We're all, I think, throughout the region going to get a, kind of a textbook case example here of how a cell phone ban might work out in practice. And if it works, and, I think one big variable that you just mentioned is this whole matter of parents being able to stay in touch with their kids during the school day. A lot of parents clearly want to do that. So we'll see how it plays out. Phil, thank you very much. Always interesting with you on. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. Have a good day, Jim.
Okay. Brunswick Poll. I can't believe I did that. I almost said Brunswick Police Chief Phil Potenziano. It's a leftover from my interview yesterday with Brunswick Police Chief Scott Stewart. Phil Potenziano is the school superintendent, not the police chief. 801 at WCMA.